Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this one thing, okay, that he who began a good work in me or in us will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll say it again. Being confident, that's you, and that's me. Being confident that who he began a good work, that's him. He has begun a good work in you. How many could say amen to that? Amen. He has begun a good work in you, and it says that he will complete it. Meaning, we're not there yet. But we're on the way to being completed. We may not be complete totally by the time we're gone, but there's a process here. I know, you know, that what he has begun in you, he will complete it. Right, Larry? He will complete it. He will complete what he has begun. I'm confident of that. And you know what? It's not much if you only hear that and take that home today. And you're confident about your salvation, that he is working with you, in you, and he will make it happen. Yes, there's work. Yes, there's turning your heart toward God and all that. Yes, it's going to be not easy. But if he says that he will complete it, I say amen to that. Amen? He will complete it. Let me tell you something. There's a work going on in my life. And there's a work going on in your life. Because I'm confident that he's working there. So if he's working there in my life, that means I haven't arrived yet. I'm under construction. Say that. Pastor is under construction. I am under construction. So, you know, when you look at everybody and you look at everybody, I mean, they're going to be at all different place. You know, spiritually, mentally, everybody's going to be at different place. How many knows there's construction going in the east end of town there by, Dairy Queen and Kantara there? And you know when this construction, it slows down the traffic. You know, you stand there and the guy, you know, and sometime you want to go. And they close the line and they're digging a hole and they're putting wires and they're putting pipes. And it goes on for a while. And then finally they put everything, compact everything and put the pavement and put the line and everything is beautiful. So when there's construction in your life, it might be messy a little bit. But you know that he's working. If it never gets messy, you have to worry about it because nothing is happening. There's no construction here. But when things begin to happen in your life and this is upside down and this is not working, there's an opportunity for you to say, my God, he is at work in my life. Things are moving. The backhoes are here. And the dirt is flying. So Christianity is not always nice and smooth. It can be rough sometimes. But if you have that confidence that he's going to finish what he started in you, then you don't worry. You don't have to worry. Because you know it's going to be okay. That's faith. You know it's going to be okay. So, look at your neighbor. Say, you're under construction. I'm going to be patient with you. Right. That's good. So, you have to be patient. Yes. You know, maybe it's a husband and a wife thing. You know, they're under construction. Maybe it's a kid thing. You know, the kids are being under construction. It's just messy and all that stuff. But if you have that confidence that everything is going to be okay, that's all you need. Am I right? So So we go. So my topic today that I chose is hypocrisy in the church. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at every hypocrite in the church. Doesn't sound good, huh? And we're going to define what hypocrisy is. And we're going to say, okay, this is what it is, and this is where I'm not going with my life. You know, because how many knows that some people, if you invite somebody to church and they say, oh, no, I'm not going to church, that's all a bunch of hypocrites. Right? They say that. And then you say, well, one more won't hurt. Just come on in. Right? So I begin to kind of study about hypocrisy. And to define this is Webster, he says, it's a person who pretend to be what he or she is not, especially one who puts on an appearance of goodness and religion. So see, the word religion is stuck in the dictionary of Webster because, and I think it's because of Jesus when he talked to the Pharisee. If you look at Matthew 23, the whole chapter, seven times he says to the Pharisee, woe unto you, mean curse you be. That's what it means, woe unto you. Hypocrite, seven times. He called them snake and viper because they had two faces. And is there more people in the church that has two faces or less than the world? So I begin to look at that. And I don't think there is. People are people. People, they're just, whether you're outside the church or inside the church, there's more grace in the church not to be an hypocrite. So he says it's an appearance of goodness and religion. Look at me. I am in the Lord for a long time. This is what I achieve, you know. This is what I've done. And you know what I like about Moses? God says, he's the most humble man on the earth. He humbled himself. He didn't say, look at me and all that stuff. He cried for the people. He wept for the people. He led the people of God. You know, there was no two-face about Moses. And you know what? As we mature in Christ, we have to lose sometimes the two-face that we put on. And we all do it. Different ways, different measure. We all do it. But Jesus did not like the Pharisee very much. And he said really a hard thing. And I think maybe that's why it's in the Webster Dictionary, because he knows that Jesus did not like it. So, does Jesus like hypocrites? He loves the hypocrite. But he hates hypocrisy. See, you got to love the sinner, hate the sin. Do you know that? We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. Okay. So is it more prevalent in the church? Then I begin to think about family, people who are not Christian at their family, business. You know what? If you go in the business world, people are trying to step in front of you, want a promotion before another, and there's a lot of hypocrisy in the business. It can be a mean, ugly world. You know, that's just business. Relationship, you know, people are sometimes cheating on one another, or whether it's children, whether it's a different relationship. People pretend to be different. You know, they want to be like the actor. Actor. You know, put on a show, this is who I am. But inside, they're hurting. And they're putting a front to look good. And sometimes we do that in different way, maybe smaller. People ask us a question and we smile. And we say everything is okay,
but it's not sometimes.
How many knows what a club is? It's not a stick that you beat somebody with, Bill. A club is a place where you belong. Right? Did you think it was a stick? I know. But I'm talking about a club here. A club has a president, a board, a treasurer, and they have a mission, right? I mean, different club, like we have, I think, in front of our house, Rotary Club. I don't know what they do, but. And then there's a Lion Club, and there's different club in town. And to belong to that club, you have to do something. First of all, a lot of time they want people of influence. People that can talk good, all right? They want businessmen, people that have all got it all together. And that's okay, that's who they are. They want people with money. And when you qualify with all these things, then you become a member of the club, whatever the club may be. This club for lady, this club for men, this club for kids, whatever it is. But most of the high club would have requisition. They won't take everybody. Maybe they won't take me. Maybe they won't take you. So, but let's look at the church as a club, okay? We have a president, we have a board, we have a treasurer, we have a mission. Same thing. We got all that. Anybody can be a member. The only things that you have to do is you have to publicly confess your sinfulness and miss the mark. You know, you have to say, I'm a sinner, I miss the mark, and come to the cross and come and say, declare that you haven't been that good. You're not that great. And, you know, you come to belong to this church or to belong to the church of Jesus Christ. And you say, I come to belong, but look at me. You know, I like that because Jesus says to the disciple, he says, go in the highway, go in the byway, look for the people that are crippled, the blind. And he said, pick them up and bring them to the club or to the church. He said, do that. And you know, all the people that come into the church usually are broken. People that don't make the mark. You know, I was 27 years old and I couldn't stand in front of you here. I would get as red as your sweater over there. As red as that. That's pretty red. That's right. But God changed me. Now I can stand here with confidence. You know, I preached at the Presbyterian church last week. And there's probably about that many people. And when I got to the platform, there was a switch there with a button. I'm thinking, what is he doing with that? It reminded me of a story. And I said to them, I said, I heard of a story one time that the pastor wanted to raise money for a certain cause, and he wanted the board member to give $1,000 each. So he got this new guy in the church, electrician, to wire the chair with 110, because he knew where all the board member would sit. So one sat over there, so we say, this chair, you know, because most people sit in the same place. Most people, right, Roger? Right? Most people. So he did that. So he came and he said on Sunday, he said, who will give $1,000 for the building of the parsonage or whatever it was? Nobody answered. He did it twice. The third time he pressed the button and they all stood up. And when they all stood up, he said, okay, you may be seated. We'll pick up the check after the service. Okay? And then I had the button in my hand. I said, maybe that's what the pastor is using this for. Now, this is a Presbyterian pastor. And the guy jumped on me and grabbed the thing. I had it like this. He came and he grabbed it. But all I'm saying, I had such a confidence when I brought the word in that church. God wants to move your world. He doesn't like you to stay in that little highland under a palm tree with your coconut juice. He doesn't want you. He wants you to go in the highways and the byways and pick them up and bring them. So, okay. So church is not a club. It's an institution. I think all the other institutions got it from the church. Right? Jesus started the church. Okay. So we bring ex-alcoholic, ex-addict, ex-con. You can see here damaged people, hurt people, people with their mind destroyed and their body messed up. But our God is bigger than all that stuff. That's where you got to find freedom for you. And if you don't find freedom, it's because you're holding on. He's asking for everything from you. If you're going to belong to this club, you got to come as you are. And he's going to make requests upon you. Tell your neighbor again, you're under construction. Tell him. Come on, you tell Deborah. She's under construction. Nevin. Okay, so what we're going to do is, I'm not a Greek scholar, but the word hypocrisy is in Greek. Okay. You know, in the theater, that represents theater, okay? Hypocrisy means you can be happy or you can smile. No, you can be sad or you can be happy. That's what it means. So it's putting a mask depending on who you're talking to. You're putting an happy mask. I'm doing fine. Just fine. You know what? I had people coming to me and I said, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. I'm good. I'm good. And I stopped them and I say, how are you doing? They started to cry and weep because they're putting a mask. And you know, if there's something in this church that we don't want you to put a mask on. Yes, you can control. You can control your feeling, your emotion, but you don't want to put. See, our motto, okay, is real. Be real. And you know what? There's a fine line of how to behave to be real and to be false and to act out. Now, a good actor can have a smiley face. And put really good action to it in the theater, right? The next minute, he can do the opposite. He can change from one to another. That's a good one. And you know, sometimes we learn to be a good actor sometimes. And we shouldn't do that. So if you look at this face, one is smiling and one is not. So hypocrisy means one who hides behind a mask. Wow. Wow. One who puts up a show and, you know, is that good to do? Because now we don't know you. You know what? Sometime God gave me Superman vision. You know what Superman vision is? You can see right through the people. And I know, won't tell any name, but some of them in this room have Superman vision too. Superman. And they can see right down in your heart. I don't know why. It's just some people, not everyone, but you can just focus sometimes and say, you see the pain, the hurt, you see. And they're smiling, they're nice, they're walking around. Wow. But really inside, they're not. How are you going to deal with that? You want to be an hypocrite? You want to be a two-faced? Whether it's out in the world, whether it's in the church, it's everywhere. But the thing is, I'm not going to carry that. I'm not going to be a theatric person. What you see is what you see. Yes, I might be going through stuff, but I'm not dwelling on my stuff. I'm dwelling on His stuff. His stuff is good. His is awesome. Because, say it with me, I am confident of one thing, that He who have began a good work will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, I didn't put that verse in the Bible. He put it there, and He put it there for you, and He put it there for me. Because there's a lot of time that, you know what, you look at yourself and say, I'll never arrive, I'll never be able to do this, blah, 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 and you go into the negative mode about yourself, and you put on the sad face, which you should not be doing. Yes, you may go through a problem, but I'll tell you what, you can overcome them all the problem. Nothing is too big for my God. How do you deal with hypocrisy? Very gently. Okay? Listen to that. Hypocrisy can really hurt people and hurt you. Now, let's go to the extreme. Joab was the officer of David. He was killed by Abner. You want to come here? Come here. Yeah, you're here. And he took him by the well, and he put his arm around him, and he took his dagger, and while they were talking, and he stuck it in his stomach. Whoa. That's what he did. That's a two-faced guy, Abner. Later on, if you see in 2 Samuel chapter 22, another guy, Abner, did the same thing. It says in the Bible that he grabbed him by his beard. Right? And he kissed him. Well, we'll forget that one. But, meaning, they used to do that. They kissed him. Paul says that, kiss the holy brethren, right? On both cheeks anyway. And again, the name of the guy was Simon or something. I forget now. He did the same thing to him. While he was buddy-buddy with him, smiling with him, and he took the dagger and stuck him in his stomach. The second guy he did that too. So, okay, sit down. So, see, a two-face will hurt somebody. I mean, I'm just saying that this is the worst case. But let's look at the New Testament here. Look at Judah. It's in John 26, verse 14. He goes into the high priest, and he said, I'm going to sell Jesus to you, okay, for 30 pieces of silver. And they said, sure, okay, great. Goes back with Jesus, the Last Supper. He sits down with Jesus. He wants to be Jesus this time. And everything is fine. He is a two-faced guy, Judah. But you know what? Jesus doesn't come down on him. He doesn't point him out. You know what happened? He just let him go. And sometime there's going to be hypocrite people that's going to come. Just let them go. Do like Jesus. Peter, I'm never going to deny you, Master. Never will I deny you. I mean, the guy, the next morning, I don't know this guy. Two-faced. I don't know this guy. He didn't know him. And Jesus was gentle with him. Peter said, you will deny me. And then he came back and he made it right with him. He said, do you love me, Peter? Gentle. See, gentleness should be a mark of our life. See, there's three kinds of people. Is the one that comes in this place and don't know Jesus. Those are the one that Jesus is looking for. There's the one that comes here and, they like this and they like that. But, they don't really are serious about changing their life. They just hang around good people. And they may be a believer by now, but they're just kind of cruising the world. And then there's you guys. You are thirsty and hungry after God. The motive of your heart is there. You don't want to be the same. You don't want to. You want to deal with things in your life, and if hypocrisy comes up or whatever, it'll come up in all of our life. It can come up in my life at any time. And if you want to deal because the motive of your heart is right. See, in Matthew 23, and I should read it. Where's my Bible? It's over there. I should not preach without my Bible. Not good. In John, Jesus was really upset with the Pharisees because they knew better. Jesus said to them, "You hypocrite, he says, you strain the knot and swallow a camel. You strain the knot and swallow a camel." Well, in our days, we don't know what a knot is. A gnat? Is it what? It's a bug. He says, you take your cup and you make sure the outside is clean, but you know that there's no bug in your cup. But you swallow a camel. Now, a bug is an unclean animal. Jewish people don't eat bugs. It's unclean. Well, some people like bug with chocolate on it. Somebody give me one day, okay? You put a little sugar on it, it's okay. Yeah. But a camel is also an unclean animal. He said, you look for little bugs, but then you don't see that you got a big beam in your eyes. You don't see that there's a big camel in your cup. Your cup is unclean. You wash the outside, but you don't clean the inside. And that's what a true believer is someone that comes, begin to wash the outside. Yes? You know, something is happening. You're changing. You can see. You're different. We can see that. But then there's a motive inside. God begins to work on the motive of your heart. And the motive of your heart, and God is changing the motive of your heart. First thing you know, you're not the same anymore. See, you have cleaned the outside. Now you're working on the inside. God is working in our life. But you just got to humble yourself and say, "Lord, I believe you. I believe that I'm cleaning the outside and I'm cleaning the inside." And you know what? As you stand here, I know you guys. I know you all. Most of you all. Is that an American term? All? No? Okay. And you guys are sincere about walking with God. You are sincere about the inside of the cup. Your heart, your motive. Is there anything in my life that maybe I put a smile on, maybe I'm hurting? See, you can't open your heart to everybody. That's a big thing. You cannot open your heart to anybody. Some people will take your heart and break it. Throw it out. And they don't mean to, but maybe they're hard. Maybe they had an abusive past. They got beat up, or people talk about them, ugliness, and whatever. They have a bad past. And now they say, "Well, nobody is going to walk over me." And they kind of their mindset. And if you say something, maybe negative or something, they'll jump on you like a chicken on a bug. And they'll try to tear you to pieces, you know. And you're trying to keep your smile. You're trying to be happy. God is working in you. And you just got to let it go. Gently, like Jesus said, just let it go. Let it go. Right? So, Micah 6, verse 8. And what does the Lord require of you? Okay? And, you know, he was talking about burnt sacrifice and all that stuff. And he said, to do justly, to have mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You to walk humbly before God. And you know what? In your life, whether out there, inside, you're going to meet all kinds of character. Some of us are a little bit rough on the edge. Don't get bent shape over it, right? And like me, sometimes I say things a little bit rough. My wife says that. So I got to learn to be a little more gentle. So there's a scripture says that we have to be like little children. How many understand that? Little children. How many wants to be like little children? Well, little children are very honest, are very honest. Sometimes I take my grandkids, you know, on my lap, and they're 4 or 5. And they'll say, Grandpa, how come you got hair in your nose? Well, I says, it's because I got a big nostril, and a lot of air goes in, and sometimes bugs might get in, so God gave me air in my nose. So it's a filtration system. You know, kids are honest, right? They will say those things. Yes. And then after a minute, they say, Grandpa, how come you got hair in your ears? Well, I said, I know Grandpa's got big ears, and he put hair in your nose so the bug won't get in. I said, that's right, that's right. Now, kids can say stuff like that, and it's okay. It's okay, right? You take a minister's truth. They may talk about your weight, or they can, how come, blah, 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 you know, and say, shh. Anyway, this kid, he's 4 or 5 years old, and his mom says, okay, now we're having the neighbor over for lunch. Okay? And I'm going to ask you to say prayer and give thanks. He said, I don't know, mom. He said, you'll know. You just do what you hear me say. Just say it. Okay. So they come over, and the mother says, okay, now, little Johnny's going to say prayer. So little Johnny bows his head, and he says, oh, God, I'm so upset that I invite the neighbor for lunch. It's hot, and I didn't really want to. Amen. So they just repeat what they hear the day before, right? So I've got about 5 minutes. I want to finish this. I'm just going to cut some stuff here. Okay, I'm just going to do a little scenario here. Okay? Who's going to help me? You help me. Okay. Brian, come on. Okay. Okay. So I meet Brian. How are you, Brian?
I'm fantastic.
Fantastic. You're not smiling. All right. Yeah. And maybe inside he's hurting or whatever, but he has coped with it. Okay, Brian took the word, and he looked at the word, and he says, yeah. My God, sure, I'm going through difficulty, but my God says in his word that he's taking care of it. So that settled in his heart. Maybe the bank manager wants to see him on Monday. True? No? Okay. Maybe the doctor wants to see him on Monday. It's a rush. Maybe something like this in his life. And he's not going to tell me, well, you know, this is happening in my life. This is the truth. Yes, it's the truth, but something is settled in his heart. Is that no matter what happened on Monday, and I don't need to know that, you know. He may tell me, he may not tell you, he may tell you, he may not, whoever he wants to tell. I'm having an issue. Because you don't tell everything to everybody. Because some people
They will say, oh, poor you. You're going to die from cancer. You know what? We should anoint you with oil. Let's get all the people here and anoint you with oil. Nobody has any faith, first of all. And they go on to, you don't need to hear that. You can say, I'm good. I'm going through an issue, few little problem, but my God is taking care of it. I have my faith in God, and you keep on smiling.
That's right.
And you walk away.
That's right.
Right, walk away. Okay, no, the other way. Okay. So you can't tell everybody everything, but you have to settle in your heart so you're not hypocrite about it. Yes, you're having a problem. You're going through stuff, but you know that your God is big enough to take care of all your problem. You don't have to be hypocrite about it. You just say yes. You know in your heart. And you walk with that. Whether you're outside or whether you're inside, you know who you are in God. Isn't that great to know? I mean, the unsaved people don't have that confidence because they don't know him. But we can have that confidence because we know him and we know his word. And you know, let every man be a liar, but God be true. Isn't that true? He's true. I like your testimony. God is working in you. Right. I know sometimes you came in, well, I'm not feeling too good and all that stuff. But now you've changed, right? You got to keep it up. You got to keep it up. Right. So I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want you to wear a mask. Be real. And be confident of this very thing. Let's stand up. 12 o'clock. I want you to say that one more time. But you're going to say it to yourself and you're going to say it to God. Say, I'm confident in you, Lord, that you have begun a good work in me. And I know. And I know. And I really know. I really, really, really know. That you will complete it until you come back. Some people say he's coming soon. We don't know how soon. But let's say he's coming back tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next year. Who knows? He gives us an opportunity to be ourselves in him. Because you guys are a bunch of guy and girl that want more of him. You're not satisfied with just a little bit of Christianity. You are starving for God. Amen? Okay. Why don't you come at the front? That saved me from going to the back.